Interesting question for y'all. What do you think is the most overvalued subject taught in high school?
Overvalued?
Or did I say undervalued before?
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Let's start
I think both are valid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I will say, as a teacher, and not only because I do teach a foreign language, but in my experience, a foreign language course has been one of the most underrated things. And students don't really, like, kids don't understand. They're like, why do I need to learn another language? And it's like, if you talk to any adult, they're like, oh, I wish I knew another language, blah, blah, blah. So, also because I do that for a living, but beside the point.
I completely agree with you, Mariah, that the foreign language is definitely undervalued. However, when I think of myself in high school and the people that I went to high school with, I think they're just too, they're not mature enough to realize the benefits of knowing another language. Mm-hmm. So they don't take it seriously enough. I mean, some people do, but I think it's, there's so much opportunity in it if people took it seriously, but I don't think they do.
Right.
I'm that person.
Jeremy. Okay. So I'm a Spanish teacher. Jeremy, name all the Spanish words, you know, it's five. I can name them for you.
No. ¿Cómo estás?
Okay.
Tocar la guitarra. me gusta.
Okay, three.
Hola.
Okay, four.
Biblioteca.
Five.
It's
your favorite phrase.
Arrojo.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we're at six.
Cuarta.
There it is.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis.
All right, I'll give you a little bit more credit, but.
Diez.
Whoa, skip nine.
Isn't
it? Nueve.
I'm going to be the devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
Working for a multinational company where I work directly with people that speak different languages, the common language that binds us all together and allows us to work together is English.
And I completely agree. But also, like, well, we can go on a long tangent of this. As I said, like, that's what I do for a living. But I just think it's kind of, and I don't need to go down a rabbit hole, but I agree that English is a very common language within the business world, or really any kind of like relations that people have in the workplace.
So when you teach Spanish,
mm-hmm.
are you also teaching like the culture?
Yes.
Because that's really important.
Yes.
The culture may even be more important.
That,
my point of view.
Yeah.
That's
as a language teacher, that's, we have five C's and culture is one of them.
That's okay. Probably like the one thing I remember the most.
Was watching Selena.
Well, no, like the culture aspect of what I learned from Spanish class, not how to like speak it.
Yeah. And I think that's like important just to kind of open up people's world views of things.
Well, I remember in high school they said like, you need to learn a foreign language. Like, that's the future. And then going into business, like, I've heard of people saying, like, you don't need to learn a foreign language. Like, you need to learn a coding language.
Yeah.
But that really only applies to people in business. Like, you're not going to tell a chef you need to learn how to code because it's not going to be beneficial to them. Like,
right.
Probably learning how to speak another language is going to be beneficial to them.
Right. Jeremy, what's a subject that you think is underrated that people teach or learn in school?
I don't know if I'd say it's underrated, but I wish I would have maybe paid more attention was like facts class. Like how to cook, do laundry, like different household tasks.
Yes.
Like, probably the stereotypical class that most people in high school just think like, oh, this is going to be easy. I really don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's an overrated one. I mean, to me, I'd say science, but that's because I don't like science. But I wouldn't say it's overrated.
I have a funny story to go with facts, your facts class example.
Family and consumer sciences, just need to clarify, like home ed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I had a roommate in college that didn't know how to make noodles. And so they asked me how to make noodles. And I told them, you fill up a pot with water, bring it to a boil. The box of noodles will probably tell you how much water you need with how many noodles or how much, like, how many servings of noodles. And that's all you need to do. And then just strain them out when they're done. And soft and, you know, good how you like them. Because obviously you've had noodles before. And I went to work and came back home. And there was a pot full of black, burnt, curled up noodles.
Oh, God. So did not read the box enough.
Or use YouTube.
I guess fax class could have came in handy there. Yeah.
So as I was thinking of this topic this week, my, I don't know if I'd say hot takes.
What, isn't that for the end?
No, this is like on a subject. The wrap up is just about like anything.
Okay, sorry.
But
I'm new to the podcast, so like I just like I'm not quite sure.
I wouldn't say study hall is pointless, but I kind of viewed it as pointless. Like I guess if someone like struggles with studying, like that would be good for them. For, like, the kid who's just, like, I don't want to really do anything, so I'm going to take this study hall class and do nothing. Like,
study hall's not really, like, a course, though.
But it's something
I will say, like, it's not like that anymore. It's either you have, like, a free period. I should say this is, like, at the school I used to teach at. You'd have, like, a free period, or you would have, like, academic support. So you have someone there to be, like, you need to get this done, and you need to get it turned in.
But my thought was, people always, and maybe it's in a class like this where they say, like, in high school, they should teach you how to, like, budget, like, how credit cards work, all that stuff. I honestly think that there should be a class where the only goal is for you to, like, actually look into possible careers that you might be interested in. Because there was not that in high school, and it was always kind of like, oh, hey, you should try to find out what you want to do, but it was just that. So I just thought if you literally just had a class that like talked about different careers or said, hey, the goal of this class is just to help you find out what you want to do after. Because I think it would probably help colleges out, because I bet that's probably why so many kids come in undecided, is because they've just never been really pushed to try to figure out what they want to do. Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't know if anybody else's school did it. Like, Harley, did you have anything like that in your school that, like, helped you to figure out a career path?
No.
Caleb?
No, not at all. We just had our little, like, eighth grade placement exam. Not really placement, but suggestion.
That's where Jeremy became a dancer.
Yeah.
Fisherman?
A fisherman. Yeah. Both. Fisherman dancer.
I had the hookup, man. You could have been like a fisherman in the Bering Sea.
What are we doing? We could have been on Discovery Channel on like some show. But I think now that was a realization since we've been in high school, which was, I know for like, I was in high school 10 years ago, but like since then that they've realized that that's becoming more of an issue and that people do need to know what they're getting into for life. So I know, but they do like different programs to help students to see not only like going to college, but different career paths. Like maybe they go into trade school or they go directly into the workforce or whatever it might be, that they are educating students more rather than being like, you like math, go do math things in college. It's like, you like math, here's several careers that you could do with like something that has to deal with math. Or if you're more hands-on and you liked, I don't know, whatever it might be, that there's these options. So I do think like, that was a huge thing. And I think like people were realizing it because it was people like us that are like, We went to college and had no idea what we were doing, or some of us did, or we changed our major like 4 different times, or we're undecided. And they were like, we should probably change that, or we should really set our students up for success instead of like, be free, little bird, fly. And if you don't, well, there you are on the ground. Great. Good for you. Whatever. So
I just remember working orientation and having kids, I'd ask them like what they want to do. And they're like, I don't know. Like, do you have like any career ideas? And like some did, some didn't. It's like so hard to advise someone who has absolutely no clue. Like if you said, I like math, that gives you at least kind of a starting, like you could push them towards like finance, mm-hmm. accounting, statistics, math, engineering. And there's probably classes that you can then put those people in at the start that's going to kind of give them a taste of all of them, and then not, I guess, impact their college career to like tack on a lot of time doing that. But I honestly didn't know what engineering really was until I got to college. And that's because I was at orientation and they said that as an option. I'm like, what is that?
There was one thing that my school did, and I think a couple other schools did in the area. They had like a career fair type deal, mm-hmm. where you could like walk from classroom to classroom. And I think it was held at SCC. South Central College.
Yep.
SCC. And they had like people from all different career backgrounds. Like one was like a veterinary background. Mark Torello was there. If you wanted to do something with weather. Like,
oh.
like nursing, mm-hmm. dental hygiene, all sorts of stuff.
Brett Favre was there teaching him how to be quarterback.
Exactly.
And how to wear Wrangler jeans. Was he Wrangler or Levi? Wrangler, right? Wrangler. He was like, check out these back pockets.
Again.
That didn't land.
I guess, Harley, like, how did you come about your career, or like knowing that's what you wanted to do?
Definitely not in high school. I honestly didn't find out until I interned at the company I'm with, and I figured out, I was like, oh, actually sales is different than what I thought it was. I thought sales was like that pitchy cold calling, like, you know, mm-hmm. used car salesman. No offense to anyone who has used car salesman in their life or is a used car salesman. No offense, but there's some bad ones out there. So I thought about that, and then I learned that sales was different. So that's how I found it. And honestly, it wasn't really, I really like sales, but I think leadership is what ultimately I want to be in. But if you were to ask me what I would want to be in when I grow up, you know, ask me that in sophomore year of high school or junior year or senior year, I would have no idea what to tell you.
So
zero idea.
What do you do currently, Harley? And were there any like identifiers growing up early on in age, or maybe in college that you think maybe aligned to your current career?
So what I do now is I lead up our sales focused internship program. So we're trying to find the future sales leaders and salespeople of our company. So that's what I'm focused on right now. So it's leadership, it's sales, it's a lot of things combined. I guess I'd say the only way I could estimate that I would be doing it would be when I first started college and I had mentors in my life that showed me that, you know, this could be a career path. And obviously I've had some great people in my life in high school as well. That have guided me to where I am today. So I think there's a lot of influences that I've had in a good way that unfortunately a lot of individuals that, you know, that were like me back then, they don't have the same support. They don't have mm-hmm. those people in their lives that support them, whether they're underrepresented or they don't have the same opportunities that others have. So That's one of the things I want to help solve in the future, you know? I know, so, not to get super sappy, but yeah.
So did you kind of come into college with, in a way, kind of undecided?
Yes, for sure. But I knew business. Business was, when I looked at the whole list of things, I knew looking at healthcare, like being health, no. Being in engineering, no. I'm not smart enough for that. shout out. Brandon is. I'm not. So business is one that looked more intriguing to me. That's what I would say.
I'd probably say that business is probably like the default probably for most people. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like in a way, every pretty much type of career has business aspect of it in a way.
Right. Business is such a large, like that covers so much, I feel like. And I'm not in that world. So for me, like businesses, there's so many. Yeah. Like it's a big umbrella in my opinion.
Well, like schools have a finance department.
You mean colleges? Yes.
No, like you work for a school. Finance department. Sorry. Of the school.
Yes.
I work for a cereal company. There are not Spanish teachers at my cereal company.
Right.
Where, like, business is truly probably the umbrella to everything. Like, the best way I kind of realized this at first was, like, I really like sports, and mm-hmm. I was going to go into sports management, but then someone told me, don't do that because you're going to end up working in ticket sales for, like, the first – like 5 years of your life, and you're going to hate it. And they're like, if you want to do finance for a sports team, like you're better off going and getting a finance job and then transferring your way into a sports team.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, well, I could just work in sports and think I like what I do, or I could actually do what I want to do with finance, but then try to get it into an industry I actually want to do. But I guess with Caleb, like, how did you, because you came into school as finance, right?
I think I was technically undecided for like a couple months, and then eventually I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure I know what I want to do.
I guess when did you figure out?
How, like, what drew you to finance?
Actually, okay, so I remember a little bit better now. I did come into school for finance, but I was open to other options because I wasn't totally sure yet. And I think that's actually pretty common for freshmen in college, even sophomores. But there were, I guess, a lot of identifiers growing up or instances that probably, I guess I could, that were hints that I would someday end up in like finance or business. When I was, I think, 5 or 6 years old, I stole all the fruit out of my family's fridge and tried to sell it to my neighbors in a red wagon.
Oh my gosh. I'm just like, sorry, but in my mind, I'm picturing just like little Caleb strolling the street being like, fruit here, get your fruit.
My mom's grapefruits were
oh my gosh.
On sale.
Was she upset about it?
I don't know that they ever found out. Like, I don't know. I'm sure that the neighbors probably told them eventually, like, your kid came over here trying to sell us all your food.
Offering me grapefruit? It was interesting.
Hey, when's Caleb going to get more, like, strawberries?
Those are the best strawberries I ever had.
What?
And then there was another time shortly after that I... So we lived kind of out in the country, but in like a new development. And so there's like prairie land behind our house, and wildflowers would grow like crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'd load up my wagon.
Here's the wagon again.
Wildflowers and bundle them up, and I'd try to sell them to my neighbors.
These neighbors of yours are probably like, no soliciting, Caleb. I see you walking up the driveway. Turn around.
Yep. And so that didn't pan out. I did not start a flower company.
Mm. Or a fruit
company. Or a fruit company. But I guess growing up, some more identifiers were more in school, I was always really good at math. In high school, there were some integrated lessons in like algebra or like calculus that were related to finance, like time value of money in particular. And I always was fascinated by the concept of compounding interest, compounding rates of return, and how much that can really grow like a principal. And so my junior, senior of high school, I made a complete opposite decision. I wanted to go into meteorology, and I was fascinated by like weather for some reason.
Patterns.
Weather patterns. And I talked to a professor at University of North Dakota, two of them, and one of them gave me like the straight up honest answer. And he's like, dude, our class sizes are like five people. And there's like no certainty if our department's even going to get any funding.
Oh, no.
In the long term. So yikes. It's an industry that's now very automated. And you probably want to steer clear of this. So I was like, okay, thanks. So I think I actually, it might have been my senior year. I only had a couple years left or a couple of months left to graduate high school. And I just made like a split second decision to go to MSU because I know that they had like a pretty decent business program that I was going to go into finance. Wasn't completely sure, but I just thought I'd try it out. Ended up being a really good click for me.
There you go.
Yeah. Like trying to think of my life growing up, the first career I can ever remember I wanted to be was a mechanic. And then I started watching Orange County Choppers.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I wanted to start building motorcycles. And I don't know really when that, like, no longer became an option.
That it no longer became an option, but in your mind, you're like, that's not practical.
Yeah.
I don't have a show on Discovery Channel, nor do I have a family that has a chopper shop.
Yeah. And then I originally wanted to go to school for law enforcement because my older brother was going for it. But then I chose not to. I thought about becoming a chiropractor.
Okay, there we go.
Then found out I had to take a lot of science classes, so I was like, no. So I kind of just fell back on, I like math, and I know I don't want to be a teacher. So this test I took said I would be good at accounting, so I just started out as accounting.
Fisherman.
Well, it was fisherman and accountant.
Oh.
And then dancer and accountant. So I just took the one that showed up twice instead of the one that showed up once.
Mm-hmm. So,
what about your route?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a Spanish teacher. How'd that come up?
Yeah. Growing up, I wanted to be a teacher, like, all through elementary school. Like, I would play school. Like, I was telling Jeremy this. Like, I would sit and I would, like, put my dolls or my stuffed animals, like, they were students, and I'd have a whiteboard, and I would, like, play school with them. And Jeremy thought I was nuts. Like, did you do that? Is it a girl thing?
Not really, no.
Harley, did you play school?
It's a nobody thing.
It's a nobody thing. Great. So just me. Perfect. Anyway, so I did that and I was like, I really like teaching. I always thought I wanted to be an elementary school teacher because I was in elementary school. So I'm like, oh yeah, this is fun. Like these ages are so fun. Cause I was that age. And then when I went into middle school, I actually was, like I was having a lot of mental health things like anxiety, depression and things like that. And the person who really helped me at my school in middle school, well, there was a couple of people, not only my mother who went through a lot, but was very supportive, but our school nurse was very supportive as well. And the school counselor that was there was also someone like who I was like, she's great. She did everything for me. Like she was a really strong advocate for me. So I was like, oh, I could be a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a school counselor, of sorts. And then I realized how much schooling would go into a lot of that and science and also how, well, I guess I blossomed more into a talker once I got older, but I now realize like I'd have to listen to people instead of like talking, being like, but did you ask this question? Or like, why would you do this? You know, like I would have to stop talking and I'd have to listen, which would be kind of hard for me. So then I went back into teaching and I was like, I really could see myself being a teacher, having the structure of school and then, you know, having 3 months where I don't have to deal with students and then going back into the classroom. And then when I got to like kind of later in my high school career, I was like, I could be like a math teacher. I really like algebra. And then I realized like I couldn't do statistics or calculus was not my strong suit. So then I just kept going with Spanish through high school. And then I was doing it in college and I'm like, well, I might as well just combine these two things and ta-da. And now we're here. So, but I was going to say before was asked about like my experience was if there was anything like in school that kind of, like in your high school experience, cause we're talking about like high school or I think all of us went to public schools. Yes.
Yeah.
Harley.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, was there anything in your schooling, like your, anything like that of like clubs or groups that you joined or anything like that, that kind of pushed you into that area? Do you know what I'm saying? Cause like, I know at my school they had DECA, which is something, I don't know what it stands for, but it's like business and you would present your stuff like at a state level or whatever. And that brought like our DECA program at my school was huge. And so a lot of those people went into business already kind of knowing that they want that, that was interesting to them. I mean, I was like in Spanish club, but also like we ate chips and salsa. So like,
my high school didn't have DECA.
Okay.
And I'd probably say the thing that would, I guess it would have been a class. And I honestly think if I would have, if I could redo college, I'd probably still end up where I am today, but I probably would have went economics over finance. And it was actually in my economics class in high school that it's probably like the favorite class I had.
Mm-hmm.
But this is kind of one thing that doesn't really tell me to work in finance, but like my favorite part of that class was they gave us a project of like the goal was for you to focus on a career that you could see yourself in, and you had to find out like the costs of school, what like the starting salary is, and then you ultimately had to like plan your life out.
Mm-hmm.
And 75% of the class just took careers that paid just an ass load of money.
When well, it's, duh, like, it's a high school kid.
Yeah, it's like, is this actually something you want to do, or are you just doing this because you want to say that you're going to be rich and stuff like that? Where mm-hmm. I took it practical.
Which, you as a human being, you are very practical. Yeah. So,
and maybe that kind of aligns with like, I guess, financial planning, which is something I've always been fascinated and enjoy doing. So I guess finance wasn't a bad route. Mm-hmm. And maybe that highlighted that, like, I guess the financial planning aspect. But yeah, there weren't any clubs that did.
But you would say like your econ class in high school, your economics class was something that steered you or was helpful even like to help you kind of even explore different career paths and the realisticness of doing that as a career.
Yeah.
Did you have anything like that, Caleb?
Or no. No, we just had like NHS.
Okay. National Honor Society.
Yeah, and like student council. That was it. There might have been like some programs outside of school that kids could get involved with, like mm-hmm. robotics, but nothing really else other than like your basic athletic programs.
Did you have like classes, like anything that would help you kind of explore that or no?
No, not at all.
Did you go to a smaller school? I don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Class sizes were like 130 at the time.
Okay.
They might now because class sizes are now like above like 190, 200 pretty consistently. But, yeah, I'm, I'm surprised like more schools don't do that. I think on a separate tangent, do you guys think that schools in general, like pre-college education, schools, so like high school, middle mm-hmm. school, even below that, do a good job of changing with the times, changing their academic standards with the times, like prioritizing perhaps some fields of study over other, or I guess just re-examining,
mm-hmm.
like kind of like the tilt of their academic programs.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd say that it like fluctuates what they teach. I could definitely say, and I know my dad pointed this out, was like when I went to college, I was like, they never brought up trade schools. Like they just said,
not at all.
Like go get a 4-year degree. And he said that's kind of how it's always been. Like there'll be a large push for 4-year schools and then the trades will get low. Like,
yeah.
So then they'll start pushing trade schools. And then it'll be, okay, well, we have too many people in the trade, so now we have to start pushing 4-year schools. Is that the best way to go? Probably not. Maybe push both of them evenly mm-hmm. at all times. But I would definitely say that what they teach never changes. It's just what form of secondary education they push changes.
Post-secondary.
Yeah.
And I don't think, like, the purpose of pre-college education is to make kids like experts
mm-hmm.
or in any field, but I think there is an opportunity there to expose kids to different options.
I guess Harley,
I was gonna say before I even ring in with the, I don't even know how to, not like, I don't want to say like the reality of teaching, but more of like my experience and curriculum and just being a part of that. Harley, do you have an opinion about like schools staying current?
That is, or that, I guess, any clubs that were a part of?
No to the clubs, because I don't know if we even, I knew we had probably some, but I, even if we did, I would not have done anything. I was straight home to play RuneScape. but Mariah, I have a question for you.
Yes. Okay?
Because I don't have any exposure to what schools are like now or what high schools teach. And what grade do you teach?
So I've been kind of all over everywhere. Next year I will teach 7th and 8th grade, but the past couple of years I taught like 9th through 11th grade.
Okay. So do you know if schools are teaching about world issues mm-hmm. and politics and things that are happening out there in the world today? Are they teaching that stuff?
Yeah. So I'm going to rope that question in with kind of like the earlier question about just like schools staying current, which I think they're both kind of a part of one another with like current events and just mm-hmm. like certain things like that. Now that I'm like hearing all of you guys like talk about, you know, you didn't have clubs or you didn't have organizations to kind of help you or classes to do that. That has definitely changed as far as like the education system and like not talking about, people don't talk about trade school because everybody was like, get a 4-year degree. You have to have a 4-year degree to do anything. And if you don't, you're not going to make it in life. Where, like I said earlier, now like kids are being exposed to everything. Trade school, 2-year schools, 4-year schools, education past college, if that's so what you choose, or going directly into the workforce, or if you want to do something like if you do want to go, let's say you want to be a real estate agent, there's like certain courses that you would have to take for that. Or if you want to go into cosmetology, there's certain, you know, schooling you have to get for that. And like schools definitely have changed that, like as far as that goes, because I think as our generation kind of is getting older, we're like, well, school didn't teach us anything, blah, blah, or, you know, like I had no idea what I was in for. I didn't know how to buy a house. I didn't know how to, or like what a credit card was. I didn't know how to build credit or whatever, anything like that. So I will say like schools are definitely kind of reevaluating, and I believe, and I could honestly be semi wrong, but in the state of Minnesota, there is something that schools do have they have to have students do in order for them to know, like, or have more of an education on what they want to do in their future. So, that is being more implemented in schools of having, being it, like, I mean, I don't work in the elementary field. So it started in sixth grade at the old, the district that I used to work in, where they would work, or like sixth graders would start looking into, what are you interested in? Do you know what a college is? Do you know what an associate's degree is? Do you know what a trade school is? So I will say, like, that's definitely been a changing topic. But as far as, like, current events goes, personally, and as I said before, I'm a Spanish teacher, and there's, honestly, there are so many countries that speak Spanish, and for me to try to keep up to date with, like, every single one, while also, like, explaining to students why these certain cultures or countries are this way because of their past history, is a lot. However, I like to look at it in ways of, like, currently how that country is and their culture. So I try to keep things current. But I think, in all honesty, other than what their curriculum or their standards are, if I'm going on a tangent or, like, boring, please let me know, because I could talk all day about this because this is what I do for a living. But standards, excuse me, we have to reevaluate standards and what we teach, like, every 3 years or every 2 years. So, I mean, it might not really change. Like, for me, I still have to teach, you know, certain verbs and certain vocab and certain whatever in Spanish one. But, like, for history classes, it still is, like, keep up to date with current events. So, like, some teachers might do, like, a current events Friday or current events Wednesday or whatever. But it also really depends on the teacher themselves, if it's outside of the curriculum and the standards that they have to teach to. Hopefully that makes sense. But a lot of the time, it is the teacher that takes that upon themselves to keep students up to date with current things that pertain to their content area.
But do they have, like, classes about, you know,
about, like, current events,
equity and diversity and things that are relevant in the real world?
Yeah. And I, like, so, which, I mean, they don't, like, have, like, a specific class that's, like, social justice or, like, a specific class that's, you know,
diversity and inclusion,
equity. Yeah. But there is, like, a big push for teachers to be teaching that within their own curriculum, which I know, like, a lot of the time teaching about historical events kind of leads into, well, you know, a lot of it, there is a lot of racism and, you know, what's the word?
Adversity. I mean,
like, hate behind things towards a specific group of people. So that can kind of bring that into it. But there is a big push. They call it SEL, which is social emotional learning, which kind of brings towards students' empathetic and sympathetic sides, and their social awareness of things, which has been adapted a lot in schools. But as far as, like, explicitly teaching stuff like that, there isn't, like, a specific course as far as my experience.
Well, with that, we can hop into the water cooler wrap up.
Great.
I can go first. Mine's a question kind of to everyone. On the radio today, they had a question of, they listed four things, and kind of, and then they, like, talked about, like, the statistics of what most of the world said to the question. But what of these would you give up to have 1 month of perfect sleep? So on, like, the sleep scale, it's, like, the best sleep you can possibly get.
8 hours every night, like, no interruptions, all REM.
Yep. Waking up, feeling fully rested, not needing a nap, anything like that.
Is that, I would give that up? Wait, what?
No, these are...
Oh, that's a... I thought that was one of the things that I could give up, and I was like, wait, no?
You would be giving these up to get a month of that quality of sleep.
Okay.
Give up their phones for a month. Would give up eating out for the month. Would give up seeing their friends and family for a month.
Ooh.
Or give up TVs and movies for a month. Are there any of those you would be
eating out? I would eat. I would make food at home all month if I could get the month of great sleep. Personally,
I'm on the same page. Eating out. I already don't eat out very often.
I think I would be willing to give up all of them.
My mind's in the gutter.
Other than the friends and family. I guess if and on the phone aspect, if I could still have a phone to like make a phone call.
Like one of those fireflies like little kids have. You have four numbers. None of them are mine.
You work with too many kids, Mariah. That's why your mind's in the gutter.
As I'm like saying it, giggling, I'm like.
But I think I could do those three for a month. I mean, getting good sleep would be good, but I would have to think giving up seeing your friends and family for a month.
That'd be a lot.
Probably wouldn't be the best, probably like mentally.
I mean, we all did that semi in the pandemic, but thank the Lord for Zoom and for FaceTime.
Yeah.
Harley, what about you?
What do I get for giving up all of them?
A high five from George.
I'd say I will give up movies and TV because I don't really do that anyway.
That would include Twitch.
That would include what?
That would include Twitch.
Well, that wasn't part of the...
that's TV.
No, it's not.
I would that you use it as a television.
Okay, I will expand it to any type of like...
Watching media...
Yeah, watchable media, TV, movies, games. Entertaining. Yeah.
What if I'm playing the game?
Still, you'd have to give it up.
All right. Well,
unless you were playing like. I guess if you were like playing like real life RuneScape, you could classify that. Ooh. But.
What's real life RuneScape?
Walking around a city with like a sword, maybe.
All right.
Going to Wall Street and selling toad flax seeds for a higher price than you buy them
for. Hey, I got your toad flax seed here. You looking for some? You just have a trench coat.
Hey,
you
got some toad flax seeds.
Hey.
All right.
Get your toad flax seeds here.
Get it here.
That's my wrap up. Anyone else got one?
I don't. I'll yield mine for next week.
Mine is just to be open-minded. You'll learn a lot more in life.
That's a good one. Should I go?
Sure.
Because Harley yielded his. Mine is that it's going to be funny because I'm staring at Jeremy, and that's what reminded me of it, because Jeremy and I are married. And.
What?
Don't laugh. Why are you laughing at that?
Because I was going to say legally.
Oh my.
Or no, I was going to say,
legally.
Yeah.
Or you're like, so you think. That's what else you would say. Anyways. Is that you should always have a good hiding spot for your, like, something specific you don't want your spouse or partner to see.
Yeah, so she hides the cookies by our cereal.
It was behind it. This is the first time you've ever gone into that pantry and put something away. How was I supposed to know that was going to be the one day you're like, Mariah wants me to put this away, so I'm going to put it in the pantry and
I wouldn't have to put a new box of cereal. I work at a cereal company.
I always put the cereal away. Drama.
I feel like there's going to be a fight tonight or something.
Yeah.
No.
A lot of tension.
No, George
will be the ref to our, like, WWF, WWE.
Or George will just burn the house down.
Probably.
Does George have a wrap up?
Georgie, come here. Come here. Come here.
He says, get me out of this room.
Okay, Tootie. He's like, I've always wanted to be in here when they record.
Oh, his wrap up is that he's sick of having carrots and blueberries and he'd like to go back to his peanut butter treats.
Same man.
And that he misses Brandon and Harley.
Well, I miss Brandon too.
All right.
He's flipping you off.
That wraps it up for the week.
Peace out, y'all. Hey.
I'm the truth, I'm the truth. I could buy it, but it's just a rental. It's not a good investment. Being bad with your money is being good at flexing. They always chasing a bag, I guess they couldn't catch it. They trying to be like me, but it's not a good impression. I used to get on instrumentals just to get it out my mental. I was handing out my demos and they wouldn't check it. They told me I'd never make it, but now they get the message. That's important information, so I wouldn't text it. They wanna get a reply, they want screenshots, but they won't get a response, not even three dots. These sheep talk, no lying, they throwing cheap shots. I had to cut some people off, I had to detox. I keep talking in my head, I got deep thoughts. On the steps where me and Navy did the beatbox. Been old school like Reeboks with knee socks. Corbin know I fuck them up when the beat drops. I'm coming back more level headed.
This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any decisions, please consult a professional.